With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Getting engaged is a moment worth cherishing. A one-of-a-kind ring that you design at Blue Nile can help your love sparkle. Just choose your diamond and setting. When you've found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Finding the right engagement ring can be nerve-wracking. At Blue Nile, you'll have the expert guidance needed and a diamond guarantee that ensures you're getting the highest quality at the best price. Cherish all of life's moments and save up to 30% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening. Welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. We are roughly, by the time you hear this, about 15, 16 days away from the start of free agency. To kind of get an early jump on it, you know who I'm talking to. He is one of the best at breaking down tape. Your friend of mine, Ryan Holmes. Good evening, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good evening.
Man, when you look at the buzz and rumors, and this is the time for talking heads to kind of have their moments. I saw a rumor floated that, you know, somebody on, I think it was Bleacher Report, tried to float a three-team deal where Derek Carr goes to the Seahawks, Dak Prescott goes to the Raiders, and I want to say Russell Wilson goes to the Cowboys. Now, one, that'll never happen. Two, are folks that bored?
I think they are. They think it's Madden where you can just move these guys on and off rosters. We're going to trade this quarterback to that quarterback. There's reasons teams want to move on from some of these guys, whether it's huge salary implications with Dak Prescott not getting a long-term deal done with him. Russell Wilson's been in Seattle for a while now, and it sounds like he's frustrated with what's going on there, not having input into the offensive line, the scheme, and he might be tired of the switching coordinators there. Derek Carr, obviously, lower cap number, somewhere around $20 million, but obviously there's some issues there and some reasons why you'd want to keep him and other reasons why you'd try to upgrade. But, yeah, I get on Twitter and the internet, and I see all kinds of wild things floated around, like it's fantasy football, but in reality, that's not how this works.
Like, people are dead set on believing some of these things. Like, oh, you know, it makes sense. No, it really, really doesn't make sense. Now, before we jump into players that they're ready to look at, they have a handful of their own free agents. I'm going to go through them, and I want to know your take on should they resign or should they let go. Are you ready?
Okay, let's do it.
Nelson Agholor,
I'm going to say at this point, let him test the market and let him go see what's out there and bring it back to the Raiders and give them an option to match. And if it's anything north of, you know, $6, $7 million a year, I'd let him walk. I don't think they can invest that kind of money into the wide receiver position with all the glaring holes that they're going to have on the offensive line and on the defense after they make some cuts here. So I'm going to say $7 million or less, keep him. $7 or more, let him walk.
Zay Jones
is a tough one. He doesn't give you anything special teams-wise. So he's not returning kicks. He's not playing on any coverage units. He does know the offense. He does have a connection with Carr. If he wants to come back as a fourth or fifth receiver at, you know, $1.5-2 million, something in that neighborhood, yes, I would bring him back just to have that guy around. He's still young. He has been productive at times. If he's looking for a starting role or anything more than that, then let him walk.
Devontae Booker,
I would let him walk. I don't even need to think twice about that one. He's going to want more than the league minimum, and I think they need an upgrade with a guy that can do a little bit more and has a little bit more wiggle, a little more juice.
Sam Young
can walk. They should not bring him back.
Denzel Good.
This is an interesting one. I like Denzel Good. He played well at left guard. Can he be a starter in this league at left guard? I think he can. At an average level, I don't think you're going to get anything more than that. It's going to depend on what his market is. If ideally he's in the backup role that he was last year, where he's kind of that inside guard guy that could play both guard, emergency right tackle, so there's some versatility. I think teams on the market are going to give him more than what the Raiders can. So I think he walks, but if they could get him back for something similar to what he had this year, you know, $3-4 million a year, he's a good depth piece.
Derek Carrier,
I'm going to say keep. Gruden loves his tight ends. He knows the offense. He's an integral special teamer. He plays on all the coverage units. Bring him back 1 year at a time on a league minimum deal. There's no market for him. So if he thinks he's going to go out there and get a larger role somewhere, he's not. So it's probably best if he comes back.
Theo Riddick.
That's a tough one because he didn't show much when he was on the field, but he has a history of being a third down guy that's an advantage against linebackers in the passing game. He did have some nice blitz pickups when he did have to play towards the end of the year. I think they should let him test the market. They should go see what they can get out there. And then after the draft, if they can't fill that position in the draft with a late round pick, then yeah, bring him back. Especially if Jalen Richard's not back on this team at $3.5 million on his cap hit. I would let Jalen Richard walk, and I would bring back Riddick after the draft at a league minimum deal.
Tack McKinley,
it's going to be interesting what the market is again. If he's looking for a prove-it one-year deal, I think the Raiders absolutely should. They need a guy like him. He's a former first-round pick. He has some pass rush ability. He's young. If he's looking for a two- or three-year deal with some guaranteed money, then I would let him walk. He hasn't shown much in Atlanta outside of 1 year. But he'd be an ideal one-year prove-it deal with a bunch of incentives and just see what he can do. We didn't see him on the field. We don't know what he can do, and now we're changing coordinators. But I think he can fit at the Leo position. He should be an option there.
Jonathan Hankins.
I love Jonathan Hankins. Every team needs a nose tackle, a big guy that can be a two-gapper and keep guys off the linebackers. I don't know if he's a fit in this scheme. Gus Bradley's defensive tackles are usually in the 290 to 300 range. It's like having 2-3 techniques on the field. I don't think he fits this defense, so I think he walks.
Vic Beasley.
I would let Vic Beasley walk. I would not bring him back. He showed next to nothing in the 4 or 5 games he played. I think he's washed.
And that's weird because Vic... It's weird to see that he had that one good season, and then everything just kind of fell apart.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think he led the league, didn't he? Like 15.5 sacks?
He did, it's weird.
He showed nothing in Atlanta this year, in Tennessee. And then when the Raiders got him, he played 5 games and had 1 or 2 pressures, no sacks. So they can definitely upgrade there. I would keep McKinley over Beasley.
This one's going to be tough. Nicholas Morrow.
This one for me is easy. I would let Nicholas Morrow walk. I think some team out there is going to think he's a starter, and they're going to give him a nice salary, somewhere around $4.5-5 million on a multi-year deal. And with what the Raiders have invested with Kwiatkowski and Littleton, and knowing that they're going to be playing a lot of nickel, I don't think they can invest in the third linebacker. I think they need to go in the draft, find a young guy, whether it's an early pick or whether it's a later on pick. You can't have Morrow, Littleton, and Kwiatkowski on the field in base defense in Gus Bradley's system, because the Sam linebacker is going to be a fifth guy in the line of scrimmage, and none of those guys physically fit that role. So I would let him walk. I appreciate what he's done for the Raiders, being an undrafted free agent, but I think he's got a better opportunity to make more plays and get paid more money elsewhere.
Daryl Worley should be an easy one.
Daryl Worley, let him walk. Don't bring him back.
Just like Nevin Lawson should also be an easy one.
That's an easy one. I would not bring Nevin Lawson back. He doesn't really fit the scheme either. They want longer corners that have some ball skills. They can play a lot of press fail, a lot of press technique. That's not Nevin Lawson.
Eric Harris should be the easiest one of all these.
Like Eric Harris, as a person, I've met him before a Raiders game. He took a picture of my son as well, but Eric Harris should not be brought back. He should move on and try to find another place to continue his career.
Now, they have a bunch of guys on the future list, and one of the guys that I'm kind of interested in is Javon White. Do you think that he has a shot in the Gus Bradley defense of being a contributor?
Yes, I think he does. He brings a lot to the table as far as coverage ability and speed, being a sideline-to-sideline guy, and that's kind of what Gus Bradley's looking for. So I think he would be the perfect understudy at the Will linebacker, kind of a backup to Corey Littleton, just get some reps, play some special teams. I think he is going to make the roster this year. He did show some flashes in the game or two that he got on the field, showing that he can cover and get to the flat. I think he made a play. It was a home game. I don't remember who it was. It was late in the season, and he made a nice play on a little pass out in the flat. So I would definitely bring him back and let him compete, and I think that he's going to win a roster spot.
Now, the Texans just released Duke Johnson. Do you think that's a guy that would be a serviceable backup to Josh Jacobs?
I would not bring in Duke Johnson. I think that he's more of a third down back that can contribute in the passing game. I think he's going to cost a little bit too much money. There's going to be a lot of veteran skill position players out there, but I don't think the Raiders need to invest money in veteran skill position players. They need to invest money, continue building the offensive line, especially if Incognito or Trent Brown doesn't come back, or if Gabe Jackson somehow doesn't come back, gets released or traded, and continue building the defense. But backup running back, that's something you pick up fifth, sixth, seventh round in the draft. You know, fourth, fifth receiver, and again, pick that guy up in the draft where he's cheap and you have his control for 4 or 5 years.
What do you think Gabe Jackson's trade value is?
Well, with his current contract, I think his cap number is about $9.6 million or something. I would say it's a sixth or seventh round pick. He's a better player than that, but that's a lot of money to pay, especially with the cap shrinking. He should be an ideal candidate to restructure. I would have no problem if they restructured his contract, added 2 or 3 years, lowered the base salary, and got him more into the $6 million a year range. It's kind of where he's at. They're paying him at a Pro Bowl level, but he's not that kind of player. But he can still be, you know, a solid starter. So I'd love to keep him around, but I'd like to do it at a lower cost.
Now, as you know, the Raiders are desperate for three technique help. Now, would you stay away from your Kawan Shorts and your Jarrell Casey's because of their age and their high cap numbers?
I would like to bring in one of them. Jarrell Casey, if he could stay healthy, is a really good pass rusher on the interior. You'd have to rotate with him, keep him fresh. You know, he's not a guy that's going to play 50, 60 snaps a game on the defense, but if you can get him into a rotation where he's only playing 30, 35 snaps and you get him in on third downs, I think he can help the defense. If you bring in a guy like, or Short, if you bring in one of those guys, and they still need to address it early in the draft, so if you could pair them up with a first or second round pick on the interior, you get a veteran leader that might have a little bit left in the tank while the rookie's getting ready. I don't feel comfortable, especially with the interior guys in this draft, drafting one, plugging him in, and think he's going to play week one and give you 50, 60 snaps a game and be a high producer as a pass rusher. That's really hard to do. So they definitely need to bring in a veteran. If they can get those guys on a cheap one-year prove-it deal, that would be ideal.
I read somewhere where somebody had mentioned the name Dalvin Tomlinson. Even though he only made 1.1 this year, he's due for a massive raise, and I just don't see John Gruden paying that kind of money for a defensive tackle. I just don't see it. Like, I don't see him.
I was going to say, Dalvin Tomlinson, ideally, is a one technique where he's going to play the nose. And I've seen reports that he's going to get $10 to $12 million a year on the open market for a guy that's going to offer you very little in the passing game. Like, he's going to – I think he had 3.5 sacks last year. You don't pay an interior defensive lineman who's going to give you 2, 3, 4 sacks, double digits in terms of salary. I've seen the Raiders linked to him. I'm not paying anywhere near that for what he can provide. He's a great run stopper, but he's just not going to give you much in the passing game, and the Raiders need interior pass rushers.
Here's a name that kind of intrigues me, but I'm thinking that, like, just as you mentioned, he's a lot of cash. Larry Ogunjobi, formerly of the Cleveland Browns. He's a better pass rusher than Tomlinson, but he's tied to like a $9 million salary. That just does that just seem extraordinarily high?
It does seem high considering the cap went down. A lot of these teams are over the cap and they're having to work the magic to get underneath. This is a different year. I hear a lot of people talking about the cap and saying it's a myth, and you know, good teams don't worry about the cap. You just can move money around, manipulate it, signing bonuses and all that. But what people don't realize is in order to do that, you have to have cash on hand. This league is driven by cash. The cap is a myth if you're flush with cash and it doesn't matter. But none of these owners really had the revenue streams last year that they normally would. They didn't have 8 home games with parking and concessions and ticket sales and all that. Most of these teams didn't even have fans during the year. So there's going to be a lot of owners out there that aren't going to give out big bonuses to move money around. They're going to tell the general manager basically to deal with it this year and do the best they can. And I don't think you're going to see a lot of big restructures where big signing bonuses are given out and you're extending guys multiple years out into the future. Ogunjobi is a good player. He'd be a nice mix. He's about the size of typically what Gus Bradley looked for, and he can give you enough in the run game where he's not a liability, and he can give you above average pass rush on the interior. I don't think, if I'm Cleveland and I know I'm losing Olivier Vernon and I have Myles Garrett, I think I'm going to do everything I can to keep him, well, especially while Baker Mayfield's on a rookie deal and they have cap room. So if Cleveland's not making an offer to keep him around and let him walk, that should be a red flag to other teams because they have the space to keep him there.
Now, if we move towards corner and we came to the consensus a while back that Trayvon Mullen is a great number two, a good number two, the Raiders need someone, a bookend. Now, looking at it, if you had a choice, and I know fans want Patrick Peterson, they want A.J. Boye, but they're going to command double-digit millions. And as we know, John Gruden is not going to pay that. If you look at a guy like Brian Poole, do you think that he has a shot at finding his way to Vegas?
Yeah, I would think that he does because he offers you the ability to play outside and he can play inside on the slot. The Raiders don't have a slot corner, so that's a huge need. And if you can bring in a veteran that can do a little bit of both, it frees you up in the draft to where if they want to draft another slot corner, develop Amik Robertson, maybe bring in another veteran, that would be ideal. Another name that has been thrown around that I kind of like is Jason Verrett, who did play for Gus Bradley, I believe in 2017, albeit it was a short. He got hurt, I think, 1 or 2 games. But he's played really well for San Francisco the last 2 years. He's familiar with the system. He's a great fit in a cover 3 defense. It'd have to be a 1-year deal. There is a lot of risk involved. I think over a 4-year stretch, he played a total of 4 or 5 games. Like he's been hurt a lot. But he's been on the field the last 2 years and played well. He's still fairly young. He's a former first-round pick. I'd like to see them make a play on a guy like that for a year or two. He's a veteran. He can teach these guys. He can help Arnett. But they definitely need a corner. Patrick Peterson would be ideal, but like you said, I think that contract is coming in $10 or $12 million. So it wouldn't surprise me if you got like a 2-year, $22 to $24 million deal on the open market from somebody.
Now, here's the question. With Jonathan Abrams' limited coverage skills, that's being kind, how much money would you throw at one of the available safeties? And who would be your first pick if you could pick one and under a team-friendly deal, who would it be?
Well, immediately I'm drawn to Justin Simmons and Marcus May, but it looks like they're both getting franchised, so it won't be one of those two guys. Raider fans aren't going to like this, but I like John Johnson from the Rams. We haven't had a lot of success bringing over Rams players with Littleton and Joyner, but he's a good player. He played at Boston College. Mike Mayock and him know each other fairly well. He's graded out fairly consistently over the 4 years he's been in the league. He's still young. He can cover. He can tackle. So John Johnson's a guy that I would like to bring in, or Marcus Williams with the Saints. He's got really good range. He's played a lot of single high. He's a fairly good tackler. He's got some ball skills. Everyone remembers the play against the Vikings in the playoffs where he missed the tackle and gave up the touchdown to Diggs. But one of those two guys would be ideal. If the Raiders spend any money on defense this year, which I believe they will, they need to attack the free safety position because there's not a lot of options in the draft either of guys that are going to come in early in play. So three technique, free safety. Those are absolute have-to-haves, and then I think they should go edge rusher in the first round if they can find a guy that fits the Leo position.
Well, they have a guy that, you know, we have came to our consensus of the guy that we want to see them pick. It's no mystery. Georgia edge rusher Azeez Ojulari is the guy. It fits. It seems right. If he is not there, who would be your fallback at 17? Or would you just say, you know what, trade down and stack more picks?
Well, ideally they can trade down and still get him, but I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. As we get closer, he is a hot name. He isn't a perfect fit for what they're looking for. He's not going to fit in every defense, but he'll definitely fit in Gus Bradley's. I like Joseph Asai, too, from Texas. If they could trade down, you know, 5-6 picks and still pick him up, he's very similar to Ojulari. Not quite the pass rush moves with the hands, but an all-out motor. He's flying around the field. He can hold up in the run game. He offers you pass rush. I'm a huge Zaven Collins guy, but like we've mentioned, I think he needs to go to a defense where there's a coordinator that can get him involved in multiple different aspects of a defense based on down and distance and kind of move him around and use him as a joker type on the defense, which I don't think, you know, the Raiders are in a position to do that. I think they need to draft guys that fit exact positions, and they teach them one position and let them go. So I wouldn't be surprised if Collins has a great career. I just don't think he's a fit for the Raiders at this point based on what kind of defense we're going to play and where they're going to line up their linebackers. They're not going to ask him to do a whole lot of stuff. They're going to be dropping the coverage, you know, hook curl routes, flat routes, and then occasionally blitz. So they're not asking him to do a lot of stuff. So I don't think we'll get the best out of Collins. But, no, Joseph Asai, I think, would be a good pick if they can move down a little bit.
I like Asai at Texas, even though during his last year they had him miscast as a full-time end when he's allowed to stand up and move around. He plays downhill with such ferocity and ability to shed with his hands and be able to stay clean and still make the tackle and makes strong, secure tackles where you see a lot of guys, especially a lot of edges, who will, when they try to tackle someone, they will grab and just kind of extend their arms and drag down where you don't see much technique. You just see, you know, I'm just going to just hold your jersey until someone come helps me. He actually finishes the play. Now, what do you have coming up this week that people should find on social media, and how can they contact you?
They can reach me on social media. The Twitter handle is at rholm22. It's RHOLM22. This week I'm probably going to put out another mock draft kind of as we roll into March prior to free agency, kind of just, you know, teams are starting to open up holes, but kind of just look at the draft, you know, now that we've settled down. We get to the pro days, the Senior Bowl's in the rearview mirror, and things are starting to look a little bit clearer as to where some of these guys are going to go. And it looks like quarterbacks are going to drive this draft. I wouldn't be surprised if you had five guys going to top eight. So it'll be interesting to see which guys drop. I wish there was a little bit better top-end defensive talent in this draft. It doesn't appear to be that way. which would be ideal for the Raiders because guys are going to fall down because the quarterbacks are moving up. But I'll be working on another mock draft. Hopefully by Friday I should be able to have that out.
He is one of the best out there, our guy Ryan Holmes. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
This has been another episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.